A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Josh steps up and he's going to get the first down. Oh, and there he goes. No one's going to get him. Incredible, breaks it for the touchdown. 52 yards.
Unbelievable. Josh Allen.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Tuesday, January 16th of 2024. That was essentially the clincher last night for the Buffalo Bills in a 31-17 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers. That win by Buffalo means that Saturday at 3:30, your beloved Houston Texans, our beloved Houston Texans, we'll kick off the biggest game of the season and hopefully the best day of their lives against the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, the one seed, the likely MVP. It was an interesting game to watch. I really love seeing football in the elements. I'm not soft, as you heard on the radio show yesterday or on my live stream last night. I'm all about that cold weather. I mean, I walked to work today, 1.1 miles. I'm wearing a bitchin' ski suit right now, cute little Texans hat. I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to take on this cold weather. I think that the temperature is projected to be between 19 and 23 in Baltimore when things kick off at 3:30 Central. The line opened with the Ravens 9.5-point favorites. That line, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, has moved to 9. Where are we at vibes-wise on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston going into this rematch of a week one game where the Texans got their doors blown off, at least on the scoreboard, 25-9. Well, here's where I'm at. I feel quite confident that the last game between the Texans and Ravens does not matter. It was a long time ago. And while Baltimore has shown over the last six games that they tried, they won all six of them, including a blowout victory over the Dolphins, a blowout victory with four interceptions of Brock Purdy over the Niners, a blowout victory over the Ravens. Even with all of those games, I don't think that Baltimore has transformed and improved as much as Houston has over the course of this year. That's not to say that Houston has caught up to the Ravens. I'm just saying that the Texans have changed so damn much since that week one game. Yesterday, at his Monday press conference, Houston Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans basically said the same thing. This is a completely different team than the one that you guys saw week one and probably didn't even watch the whole game of because you were thinking, same old Texans.
Man, you talk about drastic improvements. Our first game going against Baltimore, man, it's a tough place to play, right? Rookie quarterback, right? New team, new start going out to Baltimore. You look up, remember going in at halftime and like, man, we were right there, right? Going against a really tough team. We were right there, really tight game. And it kind of, you know, they took it away in the second half. But from there to where we are now, we've definitely grown. Completely different team, right? They're a completely different team. They're trying to figure out, you know, who they would be offensively with the new coordinator. But they've done an outstanding job. Baltimore, with their defense, I think they've been probably the most consistent defense throughout the entire year. And we've grown. Their offense have grown. They've done a really great job. So be a tough matchup.
We'll talk about that Ravens defense in just a moment. But you heard it from D'Amico there, some of the changes that the Texans have gone through over the course of this year. C.J. Stroud has 16 games of experience under his belt, including a playoff victory against what was thought to be an elite defense, the Cleveland Browns defense. The offensive line that game was an absolute mess. They didn't have Titus Howard. They still don't have Titus Howard. They didn't have Scott Questenberry. They didn't have Kenyon Green. Now, is that a real loss? No. But they also did not have Juice Scruggs. And in this game, if you remember, they lost to George Fant to an injury. Fant leaves the game. Michael Dieter comes in at right tackle, immediately allows a strip sack that basically iced the game for Baltimore. A game that was surprisingly close to that point because the Houston Texans defense, for whatever reason, did a pretty good job of keeping Lamar Jackson in check. If you take a look at Lamar Jackson's numbers over the course of the year, a guy who's probably going to be the MVP of the NFL. He was just 17 of 22 for 169 yards. He was sacked four times. He also threw an interception, six carries for just 38 yards. He's their leading rusher. They did a very good job against him in week one. It did make you think, okay, well, maybe the Texans defense could be actually good or at least above average this year. But, of course, they've had lots of ups and downs over the course of this whole season. But the Texans have changed a lot since then. And while I do think the Ravens are a good team and take away what the Texans do best, throwing the football, they are eighth best in terms of yards allowed against the pass, second best in terms of yards per attempt, which is a much better barometer for how good a pass defense is. Only Cleveland was better. Fifth in completion percentage allowed, first in sacks. They have 60. Texans just set a franchise record for sacks in the season with 46. The Ravens had 60. That's like That's like David Carr, circa 2002. That's what happened to him. Maybe it was 70. And it was in 16 games. So Sean Mavis, it was pretty bad for what happened to David Carr. But the Ravens' pass rush is pretty fearsome, and obviously it sacks C.J. Stroud five times in week one.
Yeah, whenever you turn every quarterback you play into David Carr, it's never quite, or it is a good thing for the defense. It's never quite a good thing for those quarterbacks.
Right.
But I think it was like 73 in 16 games. It was like an absurd amount.
Yeah.
Did Sam Howell ever break it? Because remember he was on pace for like 90 in like August or October?
I think we would have heard had he actually broken
it. Yeah.
And honestly, for all we know, I don't even know what was happening in Washington over the course of the past year. There was no reason to pay attention to a single thing going on there except for when is Ron Rivera getting canned, and guess what, he's canned, so there's no reason to focus on them again unless they somehow pull off an upset and hire Bill Belichick. But to bring it back a little bit north to the Baltimore Ravens, theoretically, you can run against them. They're 14th against the run, 24th in yards per attempt. But the big difference maker for them in a cold weather game is that Lamar Jackson can run. And I think you saw it in the AFC and the other games over this weekend. The Chiefs won partly because Patrick Mahomes had two big scrambles for 41 yards. And you heard it coming into this segment. Josh Allen had a really good game. I think he had eight carries for 72 yards running the football. He has that 52-yard touchdown as well. When the weather sucks, hard for receivers to catch, hard to throw the football, if you got a guy like this, it could be the difference. So, as we get closer and closer to Saturday's game, maybe I actually will talk myself into picking the Houston Texans. But, vibes-wise, here's where I'm at. Number one, the first game this year does not matter. Number two, the Texans will cover the 9-point line. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. I don't know what that means win, but I do think at the very least it's going to be a respectable outing in the frigid cold of Baltimore. Sean Mapes, vibes-wise, where you at, dog?
I think I'm in a similar place where When I saw that the Texans were 9.5 point underdogs, I was like, that's pretty steep. But mm-hmm. I guess Vegas doesn't get caught up quite as much in the like vibes of, oh my God, they just blew the doors off of Cleveland. Maybe they're a little, you know, more down and level headed with all this. But I do agree that's like, I can see it being a touchdown game. Basically, like, no matter what, coming down to the wire. And maybe it does become, like, a, you know, touchdown game, and then they give the ball back to the Ravens, and they score, like, an icing touchdown or something like that. But I don't see them losing the way they did in week one.
I don't either.
Just with not just how CJ's grown, not how D'Amico and the defense has grown, but also how Bobby Slowick as the play caller has grown.
Biggest difference.
Yeah.
And look,
that was his first game calling plays.
It was, right. And they had Noah Brown. They had Tank Dell in that game. Both of those guys are going to be out. But I look at it from this perspective. The Texans' offense looked lost at times in that game. And Stroud did some special things visually. If you watched it, you're like, oh, wow, he's a rookie, and he did that. But every quarterback that makes it to the NFL is capable of doing that a couple of times a game. Where he's at right now is at a totally different level. And I think if you're picking between Lamar Jackson and CJ Stroud for a last-minute touchdown drive, who do you want under center? You're probably picking Stroud. So if it does end up being a last score wins it kind of game, you do like your chances. But you're going to have to keep Lamar Jackson in check. And I'm not sure what his status is, but I do know that he has been designated for return. If Mark Andrews, Ravens tight end, arguably the second best tight end in the NFL behind Travis Kelce, if he's back for this game and you saw what the Texans did, well, didn't do against Browns tight ends.
It was hard to see him because the tight ends were so open.
Right, Sean. It was pretty easy for Browns tight ends. So if he's back for this game, I might be feeling a little bit different vibes-wise. But right now, I just think they've come so far since that week one game, and I think they're going to cover at the very least. What say you? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. One word to describe your vibes when it comes to Texans Ravens Saturday. Coming up next, it is going to be cold. And I mean, I do want to toot my own horn, pat myself on the back a bit, because I did walk today to work in what I guess is supposed to be cold. I'm actually sweating a little bit right now. But since we actually have someone here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 who can tell us a thing or two about the weather, we're going to turn to our meteorologist to try to explain how cold it's going to be in Baltimore on Saturday and how cold it is today and when it's going to stop. Our resident meteorologist checks in. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Tiger Friendly Radio.
About an hour ago, we had an incident where one of the employees stuck their arm through the cage and a tiger tore her arm off. I can give you your money back, or I can give you a rain check.
The Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
It's fun playing in the cold weather games, and you kind of block out all of, you know, how bad it's going to hurt or what's the, it doesn't matter, man. How blessed are we to be in the position we're in playing, you know, for a spot to go to the AFC Championship game. So that's all that matters. That's all that's on our mind, is just finding a way to win, no matter the elements, no matter how you feel. I know everybody's pretty sore, everybody's beat up at this moment, but how would victory feel? And that's all that matters.
Hell yeah. Aren't you ready to run through a wall right now? Aren't you ready to walk 1.1 miles to work in what I believe was 22 degree weather, currently a balmy 24 here in Houston, Texas? I know I'm pumped up. but I'm also very warm. For those who don't know, I walked to work today in a ski suit, and I guess I underestimated just how warm the ski suit is. I'm sweating my balls off right now.
Also, you walk, so you're moving, your muscles are moving.
That's true. Power walked it a bit there, Sean.
Yeah.
There has been a lot of commentary on the Twitch. Can't even imagine now that I've just gone Pat McAfee and I'm wearing a sleeveless shirt. But about the ski suit that I wore in there, a lot of people implied that I've been doing a little cocaine before today's show. No, I would never do that before a show. Also, ever. Hey, stop laughing. More comments.
It was a very hot tub time machine.
Yes.
Ski jacket.
Listen, I'm obsessed with the 1980s. If you can't handle that, then GTFO.
Oh.
I love the 80s. Oh. What's wrong with the 80s? There's a certain somebody here at ESPN 97.5 was like, oh, won't you lose a bet to wear that? No, this looks awesome. It starts a lot of conversations. This person responded, with men? Yes, it does start a lot of conversations with men. But it also starts conversation with other people. God. Like on the Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Okay, got it. More men.
Someone said it looks like a cross between a 90s Dixie cup and 90s Taco Bell. That was Todd the Show. HRW713 says it's a rather flamboyant outfit. Where is it from? Saks or Lord & Taylor? Actually, Gucci. Get it right. CJ's Freshwater Jellyfish says, everything about this outfit says, I put out. What's wrong with looking like a little slut? What's wrong with that? It's 2024. You can't slut shame anymore. You know, as our country morally declines further and further, guess what? Like, you just got to accept the way that people are. Some people thought I looked unhoused. Someone said, sorry, Paul, poor Marine, no change, don't carry cash. That's the go-to excuse if somebody asks for change. Like, I don't carry cash. And I never carry cash, so I'm always not lying. Because I do feel bad whenever I do it. Like, I feel bad, but one time when I was 22, there was a person in our apartment complex who was walking around and basically talking to anybody who would listen. He said that he was a Hurricane Katrina refugee and that his wife just had a miscarriage and that his car was in the shop and he needed me to drop him off at the shop. So I gave him like $100 in cash and I dropped him off at the shop and it was clearly a crack house. Like, that is my charity for my entire life. Like, that happened and that was like, I'm never giving to anybody ever again. Ever. You know, I got burnt.
Yeah, he ruined it for everyone else.
He did.
Sorry.
He did.
Sorry, panhandler.
Right, panhandlers. It's not my fault.
Take it up with the...
It's that guy's fault.
Random guy from...
Oh, Crack McGee.
2007.
No, 2011. That was 2011. Yeah. Yeah, I remember Mark Vandermeer and John Lopez afterwards were like, don't beat yourself up over it. Because I was so mad at myself. Because I was doing sports flashes that morning over at the flagship. H713, look unhoused. CJ's Freshwater Fish. Sorry for throwing my McDonald's leftover at you this morning. Well, I would have dodged it because I'm an elite athlete. Junior Broncos asks, how much are you selling that weed for? Do I look like I sell weed right now? Huh. So I look like I do coke. I look like I sell weed. Interesting. Anyway, I walked to work today. You know why I walked to work today? Partly because my competitors at the flagship station believe that playing football outside is bad. Oh, no, the elements. Oh, no, it's cold. Like, that's the flagship. Just absolutely soft. They're supposed to be in solidarity with the Houston Texans. And considering I'm one of the biggest Texans fans of all time and have, you know, been in on the bandwagon since August. Who predicted them to go 10-7? Oh, yeah, that was me. So because of all that, I wanted to show a little more solidarity. It's going to be about what it is outside right now. So I walked to work today. But I got to be honest, I don't know a damn thing about the weather after that. And luckily here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, we actually have a meteorologist. We have a meteorologist. Now, he took meteorology to check off a science elective, but that technically still counts. He is more classified and qualified than anyone to talk about the weather. It's time for a new segment called Meteorologist Mapes.
Have questions about the weather? Don't fear. Meteorologist Mapes is here.
The weather outside is weather.
Like this music, Sean Mapes?
I know it's supposed to be Weather Channel, but it's a different kind of video. Puts me in the mood for especially when the horn starts.
Listen, this
makes me uncomfortable.
This is what the Weather Channel sounded like.
Am I going to have to sit on a black leather couch?
I have no comment on that matter. But this is what they played on the Weather Channel back in the 90s, Sean. I know you're young.
They're playing softcore on the
essentially,
channel back
yes.
in the 90s.
They were. It's weird. My dad used to put the Weather Channel on to torture me and play this music just to annoy me until I could no longer hold it in anymore. But yeah, this is the music. And Sean, so what's going on in Baltimore on Saturday, huh?
So first, I should tell you what's happening on Friday, because that's really what sets the table. And remember, this is still a long way away, so all this is what it looks like at the moment. What our projections, what our models are showing at the moment for Friday.
Okay.
It's going to be a high of 35 in Baltimore.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yes, but there is going to be a 60% chance of snow. Although it will be about 1 inch of snow expected at this moment.
Okay, so if there's 1 inch of snow,
yes.
And that's Friday,
yes.
Will the snow stay for Saturday?
There is a chance that it will stay because it is going to get down to about 20 that night. And during the day on Saturday, the high will be 28. So there is a chance that 1 inch of snow in Baltimore is still... I guess still on the ground. There's still some powder on the ground.
Okay, but probably not on the field.
Probably not on the field because they shoveled that away.
Okay. That's a little disappointing. I do want to have the kind of snow game that we saw the Bills and their fans have. Though, I suppose, you know, Baltimore people, you know, they're not that far removed from Philadelphia people. I've watched The Wire. You know, it's pretty shady in The Wire, whether it's on the docks or at the towers, you know? Baltimore
yes.
people are real salt of the earth, blue-collar people. So, you know, snow could be potentially used as projectiles to distract Texans receivers, like you saw Steelers receivers being distracted
yes.
last night.
And it's important to know, with it getting down to 20 and the chance of snow on Friday, if you have any pets that are outside, bring them in.
Okay.
If you have a community drug dealer that's standing on your corner, please, he is cold or she...
Let Bubbles inside.
Bring him inside. For the night, all right? We cannot...
We don't want him to die like his friend.
Yes. Please use extreme caution when handling your local crack dealer, all right?
Okay. So that's Friday.
Yes, that's Friday.
Saturday, what's going on?
Saturday during the day, what we're looking at right now. And again, the models, this is what the models are projecting for almost a week out. So this is all subject to change. Right now, we're looking at partly cloudy skies and a high of 28. However, there will be winds blowing to the northeast or northwest from at 15 to 25 miles per hour.
I can't believe you got through that with a straight face. I'm just musing. I didn't listen to the whole bit.
It was distracting. The music was distracting because I feel like it got louder.
It definitely got louder. It got way louder.
Take care of that.
So, okay.
partly cloudy skies, high of 28 during the day. Winds northwest from 15 to 25 miles per hour. So,
whoa, that's pretty windy.
Yes, it is going to be pretty windy. We're going to need C.J. Stroud to really throw a tight spiral.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
How will this affect the kicking game? You know, Kaimi Fairbairn?
It's going to affect the little flags on the top of the flagpole on the uprights. They're going to be blowing pretty hard. Northwest, I don't know. I don't know the orientation.
Blowing
of
hard. Huh.
I don't know. Yes. Going to be blowing so hard. The kicking might suck. Although there will be two good kickers out on that field between Justin Tucker and Kaimi Fairbairn. So,
okay.
If there's any two kickers you'd want to brave
that's
these
true.
Elements,
these are two of the best kickers of the NFL.
Two of the best.
All right.
Yes. And that's the weather for Baltimore. Again, what the ESPN 97.5 models are showing at the moment. This was subject to change, though.
Subject to change. It's always subject to change.
Always subject.
Got to have a little plausible deniability so no one comes in,
yes.
you know, to the studio like it's an Ecuadorian television station and gets mad at us and holds us hostage because we were wrong about the weather.
For some reason, our models don't have a humidity percentage for Friday, but they
ooh.
Do have it for for Saturday.
Is you know what they say about you know, the dry cold, right?
Like, yes.
It's colder.
Yes.
I think.
58% humidity on Saturday.
Oh, wow. Well, that's pretty humid. That's almost like playing in Houston. 58%? That's pretty good.
Almost like Houston, yes.
I like that. Well, if there's a lot of humidity, doesn't that mean that it could snow?
It probably means it's easier for the snow to stick. And ooh. Also, be careful when driving. There might be some condensation on the road. But I imagine our Baltimore roads are more equipped than our Houston roads are.
You would think so.
I'd imagine.
I saw some people driving on the roads today. No one driving crazy as I was walking down the street. I'm very curious as to what they were thinking, seeing me walk down the street. I was like holding a selfie stick and recording a video of myself. I'll post a video a little bit later. I made some comments along the way. Okay. Basically, I was just talking like a hardo the whole time. So, yeah, I'm built different. I'm in all district safety.
I'm imagining you with the little ski stick in one hand, the selfie stick in the other.
Hell yeah, dude.
Even though there's no snow on the ground yet.
It was like there was snow, though, because of the weather.
The weather outside is weather.
I thought it was pretty funny, by the way, speaking of weather, guys. Did you see that the Dallas NBC affiliate broke into Lions-Rams during the final 154? And it wasn't like there was a tornado or a hurricane. It said, it's going to be cold tomorrow. And it's like led to some television station on television station beef in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Because some people were very mad that they didn't get to watch the end of the Lions and Rams game, which was a one-point game with 154 to go. And they just left entirely. I don't know if they went back to the game. That would be something else if they never went back to the game at all.
Literally the only close game from this weekend.
Yeah, you're right. They were all terrible this weekend.
All blowouts.
I mean, the Steelers is the second best game.
Because it was, what, a seven-point game?
It was a seven-point game late, but it was like, you never really, it's Mason Rudolph, so you never really, like, thought.
Yeah. As it was happening, you're like, I can't believe it's a seven-point game. Or as they kept scoring after the block kick, it was just like, I can't believe this is a 10-point game. I can't believe this is a seven-point game.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, hopefully next weekend will be better. But as you will see in the 10-minute drill, the spreads do not believe it will be all that much better. But talk about everything that happened yesterday in the NFL and play some audio from awkward press conference interactions. Next, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dracula Flow.
I'm Dracula. I'm 12 million years old. I have more perks than there are stars in the Leo cluster.
We're ready for some football, baby. Yeah!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Second and nine. Across the middle. Sherfield was not down. Shakir not down. Inside the 10. Oh, what an effort. The play of the night.
That play was awesome. Khalil Shakir catching a pass. Minkah Fitzpatrick wrapped his arms around his head. He falls almost on his ass, boosts himself up, does a spin move, moves back to the middle of the field, jukes another defender, and somehow got into the end zone on a day that will not be remembered for its tackling. That play was awesome. You know the play that made me mad, and I'm still mad about it because I just think it's a byproduct of the NFL overprotecting quarterbacks? That Josh Allen touchdown run, he didn't quite fake slide, but he almost fake slid, and I think that the defenders for the Steelers were hoping he would slide because he's obviously a huge guy, but he fake slides and just takes off for a 52-yard touchdown, and no one touches him, and then a little bit later, he's sliding and he gets love tapped as he slides and he throws a little hissy fit and he gets a 15-yard penalty thrown for it. And come on. We overprotect these quarterbacks and to the point where now guys are hoping they don't have to tackle the guy running downfield because there is a good possibility he'll just slide.
Yeah, it was, again, it wasn't as bad as the Kenny Pickett slide in college.
Right.
Where he actually like bent down and like I rewatched it before the show. It was, that one was egregious, and I think literally the next day the NCAA made a rule against it. It was like, you cannot do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, although this one wasn't that egregious, so I don't know how the NFL can like legislate like, well, you can't do that. But it wasn't like he like did a fake slide. It just kind of, he kind of slowed up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so how do you go from like, well, he was slowing up maybe to let the blocks develop, or he was slowing up to fake slide or to act like he's about to slide.
He almost came to a full stop and then kept going.
So did Le'Veon Bell back in the day, you know?
That's true. That is true. So fair counterpoint, but I do think that that touchdown was somewhat a byproduct of quarterbacks sliding and everyone being afraid to even tap the guy as he slides. You should be, if the guy's going forward, you should be able to stop their forward progress by putting your shoulder into his chest, a la what Desmond King did, helicoptering or breakdancing on top of Joe Flacco in Saturday night's Texans win.
Yes, you should be able to spin on your butt on a quarterback's head no matter what.
That was legitimate breakdancing.
Yeah, it's a 720 on his head.
It was sick.
Yeah.
Should have gotten some points for that. Like, it's Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Multiplier going up.
Yeah. The Bills won. The Steelers lost. Mike Tomlin, I guess, might not stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He might walk away. He was asked about his future at the end of last night's press conference after the game.
Anyone?
Mike, you have a year left on your contract.
Just exited stage left. I guess that might be it for Mike Tomlin. If it isn't for Mike Tomlin, you do wonder about what's next for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Consistent organization, no doubt. Would Bill Belichick go to Pittsburgh? I don't know if he'd want to work with a crappy quarterback situation after the one that he just dealt with. I got to be honest.
Mike Vrabel, former Steeler.
Now, that's an interesting one. I wonder about that fit, though, mainly because that's a place that cut him.
Yeah.
Before he went to the Patriots, but it's not going to be the Patriots. Vrabel, definitely one of the top coaching candidates, and based off of what we saw at the end of yesterday's game, he and Bill Belichick, who was interviewed by the Atlanta Falcons, are going to have their pick of NFC East teams because, holy crap, the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, they lost 6 of 7 down the stretch, and the last game they lose, Baker Mayfield threw for 329 yards and 3 touchdowns against them. They tackled. Did they tackle? Is actually the question I should ask. I don't think the Eagles successfully pulled off a tackle all game long. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it feels like it's the end of an era in Philly. A.J. Brown, who did not play in this game, first deleted all mention of Philadelphia on his social media, then deleted his accounts.
Love that move.
Lane Johnson, after the game, said, Sean, nobody's safe. Jason Kelsey announced his retirement. And now you got to wonder if Nick Sirianni's still going to have a job, just like we're wondering if Mike McCarthy's still going to have a job. Here's Nick Sirianni when asked about his future.
I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about the guys. Again, there's a lot of guys in that locker room, all the guys in that locker room, every single one of them that put their heart and soul into this. I'm not worried about me. I'm not worried. I'm as the head coach, I'm just trying to be there for our guys and our staff right now, through a tough time.
Interesting to note that these struggles for the Eagles began as Nick Sirianni had his own Bill O'Brien, you suck too, MF-er, after beating the Kansas City Chiefs, walking into the tunnel. Talked a little trash to Kansas City. And now here they are. They go from being the defending NFC champions to eliminated after Baker Mayfield ate them alive.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest indictment, is that not only did they fall off on defense after Jonathan Gannon left and they replaced him with, I forgot who the guy.
Matt Patricia.
No, there's one guy who Patricia replaced.
Oh,
they had one guy for 13 weeks, and then they tried Patricia, And yeah, that didn't work out. But also the offense, which is Nick Sirianni's, you know, supposed area of expertise, also fell off a cliff. And you have Shane Steichen making the playoff with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, maybe. So while it looks on the surface that, wow, firing a coach, what, not even 12 months after he coached in a Super Bowl? That seems a bit aggressive. But when both coordinators leave and then your team immediately falls off a cliff, maybe it was a little bit of the Steichen gain and less of the Sirianni.
I'm going to give you a really difficult hypothetical.
Okay.
Jonathan Gannon or Nick Sirianni? Who would you rather have as a head coach?
God.
Gannon did not do horribly this past season with Arizona.
Especially once he got his quarterback.
Right. He didn't do terribly. He's obviously weird, cringe, and made things up about how the media hated him in Philly.
Nick Sirianni isn't exactly not cringe and weird. He is also
in his own
cringy
way
and weird. I saw a lot of the gif of him nodding, staring down the camera, nodding during some game last year where the Eagles were winning, and I was like, yeah, this guy's... I mean, we were saying it at the time. This guy's such a clown, and when it all comes crumbling down, Philly's going to hate him. We just didn't think that it would be, again, less than 12 months ago that he was coaching in a Super Bowl. So I think I still go Sirianni, but it's close. It is very close. I definitely... So, like, when Belichick got basically pushed out, when Pete Carroll got pushed out, when Vrabel got fired, we were both thinking, well, any coach or any team with a job opening should want to give this guy a coaching job. Even Belichick, you know, maybe you don't want to give him GM powers, but you want to give him a coaching job. Nick Sirianni, if he gets fired, don't want to give him a coaching job. I don't know if I'm Seattle. I'm begging to interview Nick Sirianni.
It would be pretty interesting if the Eagles parted ways with a head coach like not long after a Super Bowl appearance, because they sort of did it with Doug Peterson too.
They did do that. But even Peterson, that was like 2 years after.
Still, though, it wasn't that long afterwards.
He is still the most recent NFC champion.
Right. It's crazy. Anyway, Baker Mayfield, meanwhile, back. Is Baker Mayfield likable again? Here's Baker Mayfield after his awesome performance talking about the naysayers.
There's something about whether it's you're an underdog or a road game, just having your backs against the wall and knowing it's just your team versus everybody else when you're counted out. And it's always fun to be in that role. Obviously, I'm pretty comfortable in it, but our team has completely embraced that throughout the year.
He was really good this year. And it's funny, remember when he played very well in a Texans victory over Tampa Bay, where CJ Stroud struggled in the first half but really was awesome in the second? We were thinking, man, what's up with this defense? They really struggle against the randomest quarterbacks. Desmond Ridder, Bryce Young, Zach Wilson, and Baker Mayfield. Well, hey, it's looking better. It's looking better, your performance against Baker Mayfield. He's having a pretty good year.
Yeah, he's an all right quarterback.
They brought him in to compete with Kyle Trask. Like that was not a foregone conclusion that it would work. And then think about this from Cleveland's perspective. You gave up all that you gave up to get Deshaun Watson. And of course, Watson's been injured / suspended for most of the time that he's been in Cleveland. But I mean, would you be that much worse with Baker Mayfield? And I do think Mayfield's grown up a bit since the end of his time in Cleveland, and that it certainly helps that he's no longer on every single football commercial that there is. At the same time, I now focus on current Baltimore Raven, someone who's blocked me on Twitter, Odell Beckham Jr. being a whiny little baby during his time in Cleveland and acting like Baker Mayfield was the only problem. He couldn't have been the only problem. He couldn't have.
I mean, the biggest problem is Jimmy Haslam, the guy who owns the team.
Exactly.
Can't fix that. But, I do think, I mean, definitely the last couple of years that Baker had, I mean, it would humble anybody a little 100%. Bit. It would knock some of the sense into you a little bit when you get cut from the Carolina Panthers and then go to the Rams. And was there another team mixed in there? I forgot. But they showed the graphic where he had six different coaches in the last 4 years.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy career Baker Mayfield's had. And I would assume that Tampa would want him back next year. I don't know. They're not going to be in range to draft anyone. They got Kyle Trask, like you said. They have their quarterback of the future. But they might have their quarterback of the future in Baker Mayfield. He's not old. The
next two years?
Yeah. You don't always have to be looking for a star quarterback. He's clearly good enough with Godwin, with Evans, to like win a playoff game. Make the playoffs, win a playoff game.
And by the way, they're playing the Lions on Sunday, and obviously this is like the best year in Lions history since 1992, but at the same time, it's the Lions.
Yeah.
Is it that crazy to envision Baker Mayfield in the NFC Championship game?
It's not like their defense is awesome either.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, a couple things before we wrap up. You know, we just mentioned how the Browns might regret having made that big trade with Big Balls Nick Caserio, who robbed them blind in this Deshaun Watson trade, at least based off of the returns thus far. Well, also of note, during the 2023 NFL draft, Nick Caserio received a fourth-round pick in the Will Anderson Jr. trade. On day three of the draft, he traded that pick to the Eagles for a 2024 third-rounder. With the Eagles lost tonight, that selection, a lot better than you thought it might have been, seeing as they were defending NFC champions. It's pick 85. Masterful job, Nick Caserio.
Woo.
5D chess, everybody. One last story before we wrap up our Around the NFL segment. So, the Detroit Lions beat the Los Angeles Rams. Quarterback swap. Wife swap. We saw it in action in a game. Jared Goff gets revenge against Sean McVay, who was, by all accounts, a jerk to Goff in his last season. Matt Stafford, in his return to Detroit, you would think that there would be some warm feelings towards the city that he played much of his career in. He was asked about how he feels about Detroit after the game.
When Sean McVay was up here, he said that he was happy for Jared Goff and whatnot through their time together. You've been here in Detroit for your first 12 seasons. Just how do you feel about the city of Detroit? You know,
I'm happy for the players. Happy for those guys.
Man. It's...
Yeah, he even said the city of Detroit. If he would have just said, like, Jared Goff said he felt, McVay said he felt good about Jared Goff. He was happy for Goff. How do you feel about Detroit? And then he goes, I feel good about the players. He has like some plausible deniability where he thought he was asking about the actual players. But he goes, the city of Detroit, no plausible deniability.
Right.
Matt Stafford, I don't know. I mean,
what do you think is the issue? I know that there was this fan group for the Lions that said you can't wear a Matt Stafford jersey to the game, which, yeah, makes sense. It's a playoff game.
Yeah.
Against the quarterback.
He got booed.
That used to play. But that's, look, in the playoffs, it is different.
I'm just saying that is what happened.
I know. I think you cheer during the pregames if it's somebody that played here before, and then you boo once the game begins. Like with Carlos Correa, for example, when he was back here for Astros Twins. And I don't think, I thought some of you guys looked like a-holes before the game with your Correa interactions. I do. But during the game, yeah, you can boo. You're allowed to boo. And Correa handled it, I gotta say, very professionally compared to Matt Stafford. But if you're Matt Stafford, I kind of get it because you played for this franchise for a while. You got your brains beaten in. And you finally go somewhere else and you win a Super Bowl. And it does seem like there was a weird movement this week of Lions fans that were like, yeah, F Matt Stafford.
Yeah, it's also like, I try to remember this. This is, what, 15 minutes after they just lost a playoff game?
Right.
Like, people are going to be in their feels a little bit. So the fact he's not ready to give like a full long Instagram post about how much he loved Detroit 20 minutes after he just lost to him, I'm willing to give him some grace there.
That's fair. A little bit of grace. Just a little bit. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Vibes-wise, where you at with the Texans heading to Baltimore officially on Saturday? They are 9-point dogs per mybookie.ag. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. Oh, it's you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Huh?
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. It's going to be cold in Baltimore on Saturday, and to show solidarity with the Houston Texans today, yeah, I'm going to continue to pat myself on the back for this. I walked. Yeah. In 22-degree weather. I'm built different. I am him. Are you him? Are you she? Are you her? Are you they, them? If you are one of those things, you got to do something to show your solidarity with our beloved Houston Texans this week. You got to do something. Some sort of small personal sacrifice, because they're going to be playing in the cold. Baby, it's cold outside. And listen, that song might be problematic, but the season coming to an end in Baltimore, also problematic. I can't have that. I just can't. Not now. I don't want the Texans to leave Saturday's game and to hear a bunch of people back here complaining, well, it was the weather. I really do not want to hear that coming out of this one. The weather can't be the reason that they lose. But this is going to be tough. This is the first time that CJ Stroud's faced real cold, you know? Yeah, at Ohio State, there are some cold games. But let's be honest, when you're playing a football game in late November, it's not what it is in January, in February, outside in the north. It's just not. And it's not like CJ Stroud's playing bowl games in Idaho or at Yankee Stadium, the famous Potato Bowl or the Pinstripe Bowl. No, he's playing in the indoor bowl games, which is what some softy Southerners would like to see all games played in. I think that's just unmanly, and we need a little more toxic masculinity in our lives these days. But I don't want to come out of this game with people saying, well, if the weather was better. No, win this game. Don't be soft. Because that will be a narrative about you going into next year, fair or unfair, if you play poorly in the cold. Like, people from the north, you know what we do? If you are the fan of an NFL team that plays outdoors and you play against a team that's from the south or in a dome, you just automatically assume as a fan that that team is soft. You just do. And I would like to change that. Honestly, they probably should have retracted the roof on Saturday at NRG Stadium. It was only like 50 degrees, so it's not like it was that cold when the sun went down. But I just don't want to come out of this weekend with people saying, like, yeah, Texas just can't win when it's cold. They can't win outdoors. They're a track team. I don't want that. I don't.
I think if they score like more than, I don't know, 10, 13 points, I don't feel like people are going to say that. No matter what. Because like Miami has like a history of this, of doing this. The Dolphins have like a history of doing this. The Texans, it'll still be, well, you know, they're projected to win 5 games this year and they lost to the MVP, Lamar Jackson. I don't think anyone's going to be like, unless, again, CJ Stroud has like a 25% completion percentage and guys are bundled up and look miserable again, like the Miami Dolphins did on Saturday night. I think they'll get some break for it. Mm-hmm. And then if next year they win like 13 games, but they have to go on the road to play, let's just say, Baltimore again, or Kansas City in a freezing cold game, or Buffalo in a freezing cold game, and then they drop another egg, they score 7 points in that game, that's when I feel like the narrative will be like, CJ Stroud can't handle the cold. This isn't against Northwestern, buddy. All right. these are pros out here.
Right, exactly. That is probably the coldest place that he would have played, Northwestern. Because again, we're talking Ohio in November. It's just not what it is this time of year.
It's
in Ohio this time of year, it's miserable, but it's not this time of year that he's playing his games in generally.
I only say Northwestern because I specifically remember, I don't think it was that cold, but it was like 60-mile-per-hour winds.
Yeah.
And so after the year, like when people were talking about pre-draft, they're like, man, he had a really bad game against Northwestern. And then like if you just watch the game, you're like, oh, wait, the ball is flying sideways every time he threw it.
2 years ago, I went to St. Patrick's Day in Chicago in March, and I walked around Northwestern's campus, and it was like negative 15. It felt like that day. That was miserable.
Yeah.
That I would have needed the ski suit that I'm only half wearing at this moment in time. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, vibes-wise, where you at for the Houston Texans? My advice for the Texans on Saturday, no one wears sleeves, just everyone Vaseline up. Just Vaseline up. That it'll block your pores and it'll keep you warm all game long. But if you wear sleeves, like the Ravens might think you're soft. You don't wear sleeves, they're going to be like, oh, damn, are these guys tougher than us? Uh-oh. What are we going to do here? Also, I swear to God, if I get another email notification from ERCOT telling me to conserve power, I'm just going to turn on every single thing I possibly can in my effing condo. This is the fourth email. This show. F off, ERCOT. We get it. You're bad at your job. Like, F off. Stop telling me what to do. This is Texas. Libertarian state, bitch. F off. Anyway, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. See the line move a little bit already for the Texans and Ravens in Baltimore. You go to MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You get an awesome deposit bonus of up to $1,000, which you get to play with immediately. And you could put it on the Houston Texans. I do think, at the very least, they are going to cover. If you feel the same way, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Spreads for the other games. The Niners are 10-point favorites on the Packers. The Bills, 2.5-point favorites against the Kansas City Chiefs in Patrick Mahomes' first ever road game. And on top of that, you've also got the Lions, 6-point favorites against Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN975.com. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.